I'm glad to see all the youth here this morning. It's nice to have you here. It was Friday night, we had youth, and I led the youth. It was really nice to see. And you guys must remember that you're the future of this nation, okay? There was one guy that said he wanted to become a politician. Where is he? Oh, I won't show him. But I'll vote for him if he becomes president or something one day. Who of you know who Lazarus Jacob is? Okay, he's a Namibian comedian. I'm not preaching about him. I always get these question marks when I say something different. But I've seen two of these shows, not because I had to buy the tickets. It was at a farewell party of a company or something, and they were the comedians there. And what's interesting about them, it was him and another guy, they could joke across gender, race, anything, age. And you know, in Namibia, we've got apparently 11 official languages or whatever. But what was nice to see, and we're going to talk about something like that today, is people laughed. You know, the Afrikaans person would laugh because he's a black man making a joke about Afrikaners, but he's also a black man making a joke about the Uvambos and the Hereros. And the great thing about that is to see when people laugh at their differences. Are you with me? I can see I already need to battle here. But it's our nation has come a long way because we can laugh about our differences. You know, the German people can look at the Afrikaners and they can laugh at them. Just by the way, we laugh at the Germans as well. And the Uvambo people look at us and we look at them and we laugh because they're different and we're different. Okay. And the great thing about a nation like ours, I really think we're blessed in that way, is if we can get to the place where we can laugh about it. Amen? Because apparently, now this is quite funny, I don't think South Africa is there yet, because there came a rugby team, and you know rugby players, they're mostly white, and they came from South Africa, and they were also at a meeting with Lazarus Jacobs, and they started making these jokes. Now the Namibians were cracking themselves, but the South Africans were a bit stiff, you know? You can't say that. This is out of place. So I think as a nation, we're further than them. Okay, that's not it. But I'm just saying, if we can laugh, and that's what we're going to do today, is we're going to laugh about our differences. Okay? So if I did not give you this introduction, we would all be very serious here. And we would say, Theo, you can't say that. Not about Christians. We're all perfect. We're not. So we're going to talk about our differences here this morning, but we must laugh about it, okay? Don't be too serious about it. Amen. There is lots of different methods of identifying different personality types, okay? Now, last year we did this with the leaders in church. We looked at the different personality types. We had to fill in a form quickly and you had to make a few circles. I'm like this, this, this. And then at the end it spits out you, this type of person. Okay. Now I'm going to do that quickly here this morning in church. It's not going to work because you need to do it thoroughly, but it will probably give you an indication of what I'm trying to say here this morning. Okay, the next slide there, Aaron John. It's called the DISC profile. Ooh, I'm on his own, it's slap or claw. You can be divided into either being a D person, a I person, a S person, or a C person. Okay. Now we're going to quickly do that with a few questions and see where you fit in. Like I said, we can't do the whole test, so it's not going to work completely. But there should be a trend. You're either a D, or you're a I, or you're a S, or you're a C, or you might be a combination of both. And just by the way, I think Jesus was in the middle. He was like everything. He knew when to be angry, but he knew when to be soft. Shall I make my? Okay, now, next slide. You must look at that. There's four things there. And you must quickly fit yourself in with the one that you think you are. So it's either restrained, forceful, careful, or expressive. You shouldn't think too long, just the one that fits in. Have you done that? Has everybody done it? Okay, Aaron John, next one. So now make a note what you are. Are you with me? Okay, it's gonna vary, but maybe out of the, I think we only have six, you might, hopefully you'll be most of an S or most of a D. Okay, have you done? Okay, next one. Are you argumentative, doubting, indecisive, or unpredictable? Are you finished? Are you finished? Okay, next one. So now, write down what you were. Okay, they say I must go slower. Argumentative, doubting, indecisive, or unpredictable. Okay, next one. So just stay there, stay there. Are you popular? Assertive? Think of your school, where you are, at work. Assertive? Are you a perfectionist or are you generous? I can tell you I'm not a perfectionist. Not too much. But I used to be. I think I changed a bit. Okay, are you done with that one? Okay, next. Now you must write down what you are. An I, a D, a C, or an S. Okay, next one. Are you charming? Now that's not like girlfriend, boyfriend, charming thing, okay? Adventurous? Are you disciplined or deliberate? What am I? I'm so confused by now. I've been all those things, D, I, S, and C, so I'm not even trying. That's what a pastor needs to be, all of them. Okay, Aaron John? Oh, there was somewhere where there was a mistake. Oh, there was a mistake at one. But anyway, let's go on. Okay, next one. Commanding. What does that mean? You don't suggest things. You say, you command. Are you impulsive, slow-paced, or critical? It's amal nog net, is everybody okay? You must be very honest. If you're doubting whether or not you're honest, ask your wife. She'll tell you. All right? I don't know if there's another one. Aaron John? Oh, there's another one. Okay, now I can tell you, mine is a very big impatient there. That's what I am. So are you impatient? Are you serious? Procrastinator, what does that mean? Do you stel je goed uit? You put things, you never get to it. You always have got a list of things to do, and but the list stays the list. Or are you emotional? Not all women are emotional, but I would say most women would say that. All right, Erinjan. Okay. Do you want us to go through it again, or do you have more or less an idea of what you are? Okay, who thinks they are a D? Okay, those are the D people. Who thinks they're an I? Who's an I? An I? An I, okay. Who's a S? Oh, S people are good people. They're very good. But S people needs D people to get things done. And who is a C? Oh, it's those C people. They irritate me a bit sometimes. but don't worry, I'm going to get to why. Okay, so, but you might have seen that you also be a combination of the two. So what if you want us to do it, we can send you this sheet of 20 or 25 of them, and then we can do it properly in small groups. If you want that to be done, speak to your small group leader. But we don't have time to do all of that. So, D people. It's the next slide there. At the top there, I've given you the good points, the strengths, and just quickly the weaknesses also. Because we have to understand that the type of person that we are is positive but can sometimes also be negative. There's something that we lack in that we need to work on, etc. So don't worry if I criticize the C people now, I'm sorry. I don't know what I am. Maybe I'm a D. I'm going to criticize myself as well. Okay, a D person works hard. He's self-reliant. He does not need people to hang around him and tell him what to do and how must it be done and needs all kind of support. He just does it. He solves problems, but he's impatient. He's inattentive to detail. Big plans. Woo! We're going to get the whole world saved. And then a C person comes and says, how? Where's the money? When? No, some next month. When next month? With what? Whose car? Where are we driving? No. But God said we must do it. But yes. But God also knows we need to drive there. Okay. Now, in the Bible, the typical person like that would be Paul. And D-type people are motivated. What keeps them going? They're motivated by results and challenges. They want things to happen. They don't want to just come and sit in church every Sunday and it must be the same. Something must happen. Otherwise, they'll get impatient. Amen. D people say amen. God made you like that. You're not a mistake. But behavior under tension. How do those type of people behave when they're under tension? Do they try and solve it? No, they become very autocratic. They say, it is done like this. Black and white answers. No, not like, it's like this. You know, there's something wrong in the house and those dogs keep running away. We're going to lock them in, you know. It's not like we're going to try and help them. No, we're locking them in. Okay, an I-type person, I. These are the, yeah, we need all these people. The I people are optimistic. They're very outgoing. Don't tell an I person it can't be done. No, it must be done. You know, but they talk too much. Hey, I want to pause at that one there. I people talk too much. They also lack follow through. So like I said, big plans, start it, and never gets finished. Unless you get a C person there to help you to finish that thing. Okay. Somebody in the Bible like that was probably like that is Peter. And they are motivated by recognition or approval. You know, sometimes somebody must go to them and say, well done. You know, and you don't have to be fake. For a D person, you don't have to say, well done. He just is going to do it whether or not you say well done or not. But an I person, please say, well done. Yeah, great stuff. You know, approval, that was awesome. And we're not trying to be fake, but that's just how they are. Behavior under tension. They attack. It's like these bulldogs. But how can you say that? Are you trying to tell me I'm wrong? Is it? But I've heard from God. How can you say that it's wrong? Anyway, the S-type person. I think pastors must be S, mostly. They must be loyal. They must love building relationships. But they are sometimes indecisive. So they would hang around a problem for too long. But somewhere you need to get a D person and say, help me make a decision here. What are we going to do? Okay, we do this. But they avoid conflict. They don't want to fight. I remember I told this story already. When I was in Angola, working amongst Angolans, they're not conflicting type of people. They don't want to sort problems out. I want to sort it out, and not when, now. It must get so. I was like this person, but let's sit down and argue about this and get it done. And some way, some guy just tell me, Theo, we don't work like this. So you know, you keep on reacting like that, you're going to get the same result, meaning no result. Change the way that you do things around here. And I had to, because he was right. S-type people are like Abram. They are motivated by relationships. Don't tell them the whole world must get saved tomorrow and it's strategy and we're going to plant churches. They worried about this little individual and that one there. Relationships, appreciation, behavior under tension. They just try and avoid it. trying, they just say, let's just keep the relationship. Let's keep the peace. Okay, let's not argue. A D person would say, no, we must get a decision. The S says, no, let it go. It's not so bad. Okay. And the last one, the C person. And I, if I remember correctly, they were all four in our church here. I saw the hands. A C person is orderly, precise, but he's too rigid sometimes, and he's sometimes too pessimistic. Moses was somebody like that. He's motivated by the fact that things must be right. There must be quality. You don't just do something halfway. No, then we'd rather not do it. We do it precisely, and we read the manual before we do it. And how do they behave under tension? They just avoid it. They just try and avoid those conflicting areas in their lives. Amen. Amen. Okay, did you get that? Did you understand that? Now just something, now you must laugh about this. Let's talk about the D person a bit more. You'll see there's a method in this whole madness that I have here this morning. A D person thinks that the C is too slow. The C person. Okay, now you must, hopefully you looked around and you could see, I'm a D, and that's a C. The D thinks this of the C, you're too slow. The D thinks the S is reluctant to change. You know, when are you going to, just change a little bit. D thinks the I is too emotional. Like really, just get it together. The D thinks the D is trying to control me. So two D's together, it's like a power battle here. Like, are you trying to, just who's the biggest D here now? Okay, the I person, are you still with me? The I is these emotional, that people love them, they're popular, they hang people, lots of people hang around them. The I thinks the D is not concerned. I don't know, concerned about what? The I thinks the other I, is trying to steal my show. You know, you can't be funnier than me or something like that. The I thinks the S is also too slow. The I thinks the C lacks spontaneity. You see what I mean? Get a life. Just go surfing or go brying somewhere. But just stop. Every Sunday afternoon doesn't have to be like this one. But that's... Oh, I don't want to offend C's here this morning. I'm also quite... My first test, I was an I and a C. The second one, I was a D and an I or something. I know I'm not an S, but the rest I am. Okay, the S. The S is that person that likes relationships. I don't like big groups. I don't want to speak in big groups. I like my little relationships with that person, and I'm concerned about them. The S thinks the D does not listen. So if you've got a wife that's an S and a husband that's a D, that's great. That's awesome. I'll tell you why it's awesome. The S thinks the I is too quick. You know, just relax a little bit. Do it slower. These people can't handle it. You're too fast. The S thinks the S needs to initiate. There's like two people that don't want to do anything. So the one, they've got plans, but they're sitting there and they're waiting for who's going to do. So they're thinking, please, can you just start this? The S thinks the C should show some feelings, you know. It's not all about the manuals and the stuff. It's like, it's about me and my emotions. Okay, now I'm coming to the C and I must be careful here. I'm criticizing myself when I talk about these C's. The C thinks the D is not thorough. I mean, like I said, big plans, but it's not going to happen unless somebody puts out a map and a plan and a... The C thinks the I is too impulsive. Give more attention to detail. The C thinks the S should focus on tasks rather than people at times. You know, and I agree with this because sometimes we must also just identify, okay, something needs to get done here. This church building needs to get painted. We're not going to ask the whole church, are they happy with it or whatever. It must get painted. So focus on the task for now. And the C thinks the C wants to be more correct than me. Two C's together. Amen. Why am I sharing this? I don't have that scripture up there now, but there's a scripture that says, You could have seen here today, there were all kinds of different people here. And then God says, I'm not the author of confusion. Now, but we would like to, you know, why aren't we all D's then, or I's? It would be less confusing. You know, then we would all run in the same direction, or S's, we'd always have small groups and relationships. God says he's not the author of confusion. The first scripture I want to read here with you, or let me ask you these two questions. Have you realized that we're different? Okay. Have you realized that it's not always going to be easy to work with somebody else that's different than you? Okay. And God says, I'm not the author of confusion. So even though we might sometimes be confused about this people relationship thing, God says, I'm not confused. I made you like you should be. Ephesians 4 verse 11. I believe we must celebrate diversity. I also believe there's an anointing in diversity. Ephesians 4 verse 11 says, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors, and some teachers. Now you can almost divide those people into the D, I, S, and C's. For me, apostles is deep type of people. It's Paul. Hardekwas. But you don't get the world saved without hardekwas people. The prophets, I would say, is like a combination between a D and an I. The evangelists, I think, is like the I type person. They're very good. Look at Angus Buchan and Reinhard Bonnke. They're very good with big groups of people. They can motivate them and they can get them to understand. They like big group people. Pastors, S type. They're concerned about this sheep and that sheep. And no, we're not growing now. Everybody's unhappy. I don't want to grow now. I want everybody to be happy and then we can grow. And teachers, C, must be precise. No. Where does that say in the word that should be like this? I want 10 scriptures and 20 confirmations and 3 angels speaking to me. But, so God is obviously not confused. Even if you look at 1 Corinthians 12 verse 4 to 7, it starts off by the heading, the spiritual gifts, unity in diversity. That is a paradox. That thing right there, unity in diversity, is a paradox. If we think of unity, everything must be the same. Then there's unity. But this scripture here says there's unity in diversity. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. What I want us to understand here this morning is that you are created like God intended for you to be created. Sometimes people walk around with so many burdens that should not even be there. And I think it is, in many times, it's the problem and the result of some pastor or some leader that wants to force everybody to become like him, or people feel that if they want to follow God, they must be like me or something. What I want to tell you this morning is you must follow God in the way that he speaks to you. You are not supposed to feel inferior if you can't stand up front at a stage and speak to people. Maybe you're not meant to be like that. But now we spend our whole lives trying to be like somebody else, feeling guilty, trying to conform, because unless I can preach and not have any fear and in front of people, then I'm not saved. I'm not as blessed. But God, in the whole of Bible, there is so much diversity and variety, and God says he's blessed. Are you listening? God is blessed with diversity. God has made us diverse. And praise God, if you can stand here where I'm standing and look at this church, I see black and white and colored and tall and short, old and young. So any church that is too much of the same, but if they preach that we must all be the same, or if they preach that this is only for, we only speak Afrikaans in this church, The only reason why we don't speak Afrikaans in this church is because some people don't understand Afrikaans. That's the only reason. Otherwise, I do it in Afrikaans. But we must be accommodating to different kinds of people here. And if we grow big enough, then we can have Afrikaans services. There's nothing wrong with Afrikaans. And then we can have English services. Are you getting me? We're not discriminating against one language or the other. But God's heart is for us to involve people and get them involved. So I can't preach in Afrikaans, I'm sorry, because there's certain people that won't understand it. And I know people get offended by that, but they must see my heart. Amen. Okay. What is the purpose of, you know, I was preparing this and I was trying to get some structure into my sermon and I struggled. So I'm going to just share what I want to share and you must make the structure. I'm a D. The SC people must... You can make a summary afterwards. But the fact is, my work forces me to be a C. An engineer. You can't have an engineer that builds a bridge that's a D or an I. Because it might be beautiful, but one car and collapses. So my work forces me to be a C sometimes. You know, the calculator is not emotional. It's precise. Okay. The first thing, what I want us to get out of here this morning is, if we can synergize, what does that word mean? If we can work together, if my weakness plus your weakness, which is actually my weakness, what did I say? If my strength plus your strength, which might be my weakness, can work together, synergy. Leviticus 26 verse 8. Now, here's a mathematical equation right in here. It says, 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. 5 of you shall chase 100, 500, and 100 of you 10,000. Now, if you want to make that calculation, the ratio in the first one is 5 to 100, it's 20. But the second one, the ratio is one person, 100. Are you with me? So there's a principle in here that says, together there is synergy. Together there is more effect, more influence, more power than just your power together and my power together. 1 plus 1 is 2. There is a greater effect when we start synergizing and working together. There's an exponential growth, exponential anointing, stuff, thing happening right there that we can't explain, but that's how God makes it to work. Can you see that? So what we have to get out of this as a church is, and we must trust God to change our way of thinking, because we always think it's like this, the big pastor that preaches and does everything. But I know we don't think like that. But we must get it out and understand that if we can work together, we're going to see results. So it's not like, you know that movie Gladiator? It's not like the gladiator against everybody. Okay, they were quite good. They did win in the end. But it's not that type of thing that God wants to happen in His church. It is not a gladiator versus the rest of the world. It is an army against an army. Amen. Proverbs 15 verse 22 says, where there is no counsel, purposes are frustrated, but with many counselors, they are accomplished. That, I think another translation says, in the wisdom, in the counsel of many, there is wisdom. So it's sometimes, I just want to get the principle across. You know, you've got an issue and you want to talk to somebody. Carol, for instance, might not have an answer to your issue right there. But Carol plus Mark and maybe Heidi together, they'll sort you out. Because they're diverse. She believes that and she's been through that. He's been through something else. And in that diversity, there is wisdom. Are you seeing what I'm saying? There's an answer there. And I do this sometimes. I do get confused at times. But you've got an issue or you've got a problem and you speak to a few people. And you hear something from that person, you take that. And you hear something from this, and you take that. And at the end, you have a nice solution. Amen. So there's synergy. I must go ahead. Like I said, there's a combination of strengths. Now this, maybe I'm quoting the scripture out of context, but it paints a picture of what I want to say. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9 to 10. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I'm well content with weaknesses. I want everybody here that has read the weaknesses of your personality profile, you must be happy about your weakness. You must be very content with that weakness. With insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties. For Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. This scripture speaks of where Paul says that in my weaknesses, God manifests through that weakness. And I'm actually so happy I have those weaknesses, because then Jesus can work through me. But I want to say in the same way, the Bible, and I'm going to speak about it right at the end, but the Bible speaks of a body of Christ. It speaks of different members in the body of Christ. And if we can understand that, if we can work together as a body, then you'll accomplish something. Because the finger, this little one, can't do too much. But it's got a purpose there in that hand. It's doing something. It might be have a strength. It might have a weakness. But the other body part helps the weakness. And so we work together. Amen. To give you an example, and, you know, for me, I must admit it wasn't easy in the beginning to talk in front of people. I had the shakes for 2 weeks before I started preaching, the shakes. But now it's easy. But I can tell you now, the last thing that I must ask my mother, for instance, to do is tell her that God says she must speak in front of people and become a pastor or whatever. Because that's not my mother. But you know what my mother is good with? That I'm not good with, is going to old age homes, talking to old people, and just comforting them. So now the worst thing that I could do when it comes to this diversity and unity thing is try and make my mother like me. And can I tell you, that type of thing happens in the church everywhere. There is so many people that walk around with, unless I'm like that person, I'm not good enough. And we sometimes even carry across that, you know, that they don't feel approval from our side, because you never open your mouth. You never preach. You don't want to preach. And we, you know, they walk around with that, I'm not good enough. And I'm saying, you are good enough. My mother should not change. It's just an example. Heidi is the same. She's not like me. But, and I can't change her. I've tried. It doesn't work. And she's trying to change me. It doesn't work. But together, amen. Woo! We're a good... what was I saying? But... I actually really don't know what I was saying. But her strength is my weakness. And I shouldn't try and change her or my mother. Somebody needs to be like my mother. Otherwise, nobody's going to go to the old age home and speak to the ladies. Because it's not going to be me, not necessarily. Because that's not my strength. But somebody needs to preach up here, and it's not going to be my mother. Are you seeing what I'm saying? There's a combination of strengths that God wants to start manifesting. And we have been hearing, now I'm getting to the prophetic thing here again, but this is a season of grace, where God wants to pour out His grace. But you know what? God uses His people to pour out His grace. And unless we start working together and stop putting pressure on people to change and realize that God is not confused. That person is like that. And I must work with him. The grace is going to start operating and flowing. Are you with me? Now, a very important thing here, the third point, is we must trust God to get this me, myself, saving the whole world attitude out. We must start trusting God for a team thing happening. And it is happening. That's why I'm so blessed. But God, or Jesus Christ, never sent out His disciples, one guy, and say, go there and drive out all those demons. You know, I really don't think, it's once again, it's for different people, different things. But God is not the type of God that drops you in the deep end of the swimming pool and says, swim. Especially not an S or a C person. Maybe a D. But he he'd drop him somewhere where he can still stand. But I don't know where we get this thing. It's this manipulation, something that sometimes creeps into the church, that you can only grow unless you're in deep end and start swimming by yourself. That's nonsense. Because I am not a father yet, but I'm definitely not going to treat my child like that. You know, if I want to start teaching him how to use the tools or whatever, I'm not going to be angry at him if he doesn't get it right the first time. How does a father do that? How does our God do it? Let me tell you. God will say, come here, let me show you. This is how the drill works. Can you see? Okay, try it. No, no, no. But we, somewhere in this charismatic movement, we like drop people and say, you know, be spirit filled and get the whole world saved. It's really not God's heart. Look at these scriptures. Mark 6 verse 7. Jesus sends out the 12. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. Luke 10 verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. Not even Jesus with his disciples that changed the whole of almost Europe was sent out with this mentality of swim. They were sent out, and I don't know how Jesus did it, but he probably put them together and say, because these two are going to work together, and then they go. You know how much? Oh, this is the story I wanted to tell. Surfers. Let me give you some insight into surfing. I asked these kids the other day, why don't they surf? Why don't you surf? Why don't you want to surf? Huh? Are you scared of the water? You must surf, please. We'll teach you. Is surfers can be, depending on, it actually doesn't matter what type of surfer you are. If you're a D surfer or I or S or C surfer or S surf surfer, S surfer. We can pretend that we like uncrowded, well, we do like uncrowded waves. But it's never nice, especially if the waves are big, to paddle out there on your own. Surf and catch your barrel all on your own and enjoy it. Nobody to see it, nobody to enjoy it with you. Ask any surfer, and even the stubborn ones that always complain about the crowds. We don't like 20, you know, that's... No, 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 in Swakop, we don't like 10 people. Anywhere else, 20 would even be fine, but Swakop, really, 5-6 people, and we start getting grumpy in the water. It's like... And it's just a Swakop thing. Maybe you'll understand it. But that principle is that we don't like spending the time alone there. It must be a couple of people. It's so nice if you can paddle out there with your friend and do the thing and surf. And in the same way, we must get away from this mentality that I must now go to wherever and preach on a street corner, or I must go and all by myself, you know, pray for sick people in the hospital. Jesus would have sent us out two by two. You know how much more comfort there is in that little two by two thing? How much more relaxed you can be in that group? If you send out a D person and an S person, the best thing that could happen there is the D person would probably take the lead and pray first in the hospital, but the S person would say, oh, it's not so difficult. And next time the S person might go on his own. But now we try and condemn the S person. You're too slow. You never change. You never pray for people. No. Leave him. He's fine. He was made like that. Just send them out two by two. Just help them. Team effort. Amen. Are you seeing what I'm saying? I believe that God, you know, made us like this so that we can learn from each other. And once again, I must say this. Now, sometimes you identify your weaknesses and you think that, whoa, now this is the only thing I'm going to focus on. I'm going to only try and improve my weaknesses. I actually think that's quite a wrong approach. Manage your weaknesses and rather focus on your strengths. We don't want all kinds of people, everybody like this in the middle type people. We want D's, we want R's, we want C's, S's. Manage your weaknesses. This is the message in this. Is also we must learn to accommodate other people, to pick up what they are, who they are, how they react, and not say that they are wrong. Manage your weakness, and then your strength plus their strength is mega strength. Amen. All right, let me go on. So in small groups, let me just share this now. In a small group, the best thing that you can have, and even in a marriage, so I want everybody that's sitting here this morning and you know your spouse is completely opposite to you, can you please now say amen? Amen. Amen. You know, and then sometimes we think, Lord, why? Yes. You know, I prayed for 3 years and she's so different. I mean, what? Didn't you hear my prayers? Can't you? Don't you know that that upsets me? Now, why can't you change? Be happy about it. Your wife is probably completely the opposite of you because that's blessed. That's very blessed. Because together you're a team. But now try and change her. Groot stories. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 1. Just something I want us to, okay, I probably shared it already. Is how to approach and how to work with people. Because we've seen here this morning that are different. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. How do we work with people? Like I said, we don't drop them in the swimming pool deep end. It's meekness and gentleness of Christ. I think sometimes they lack so much of the gentleness of Jesus Christ when we talk with people in our small groups. You know, the last thing that we should try and do is change as the leader, the small group leader, try and make everybody like you are. Doesn't matter who you are. Celebrate the different people that you have. Do it with meekness, gentleness. For example, I'm not saying for by any means here this morning that God only challenges D people or I people, people that like challenges. God challenges everybody, and a challenge is necessary in our lives, in our spiritual walk, every now and then. But the way in which the challenge must be brought across, gentleness. Gentleness of Christ. Amen. Are you hearing me? What? Why are you so quiet? Philippians 4 verse 5. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. I spoke about that already. Then I just want to read you. We read it 2 weeks ago, this passage of Moses. And what I want you to pick up here is, once again, the heart of God in that passage. It's Moses. But if they will not believe, even these two signs or heed what you say, then you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on dry ground. Let me go to verse 10. Then Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Verse 11. The Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say. But he said, please, Lord, now send the message by whomever you will. Then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses, and he said, is there not your brother Aaron the Levite? I know that he speaks fluently, and moreover, I behold, he is coming out to meet you when he sees you. He will be glad in his heart. You are to speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you are to do. I think this is a wonderful passage of Scripture. Moses is challenged. God says, I want you to take my people out of Egypt. And Moses cannot do anything else but complain and say, Lord, you've got the wrong person here. It's not me. But what I want you to pick up, it does say the Lord was angry. But God did not have a problem with Moses saying he's battling. Lord, sorry, I'm struggling. Can you see the father's heart? He said, okay, Moses, okay. I'll sort it out. I'll use Aaron, your brother. Okay. And in church, we must have that heart. You know, not force people to do things. And when they say they can't do it, then who are we to say that they should? What I want to say here this morning, I picked this up when I was listening to people throughout the week and last week. For some people here this morning, I must just say, there's nothing wrong with you. there's really nothing wrong with you. The fact that you struggle with some challenges, or you can't be like that person, or you put that person on a pedestal and you always try and go to him and get to him, stop that. There's nothing wrong with you. The way that you've been created, your whole personality is fine. God has no problem with it. John 8, verse 7 to 12, or 10 to 12. There's a principle I want to get across here. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did not one condemn you?" She said, "No, no one, Lord." And Jesus said, "I do not condemn you either. Go. From now on, sin no more." Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." This story here is of a woman that sinned. I can't now remember what the sin was. I think she committed adultery or something. And because of the law, she was rightfully, she could be stoned, meaning killed. And Jesus says, "Well, any one of you here that has no sin, gooi die eerste klip. Throw the first stone." And you know what? Nobody does it because everybody has sin, so they walk away. And Jesus does not give the woman the scripture of where thou shalt not commit this or that or this. His heart is to set this woman free from her guilt. His heart is to get the guilt out of her and set her free. And I am telling you that we have that same power and authority if we stand in Jesus Christ to sometimes just speak a gentle word over somebody's life that's walking around with so much guilt, saying, "That's not God. Get it out. Jesus loves you the way that you are." This principle of just communicating that grace to somebody. You know what? For some people it might just mean you say, "No, you don't have to do that. Why do you feel so pressured to do that? No, you don't have to go in front and speak in front of people. No, you don't have to pray for people in hospital. But you can go with somebody else. Just minister the grace. Speak grace over people. Just make people feel how Jesus wants us to feel. Happy in His family. Happy with being who we are." Amen. Can you see what I'm saying? Sometimes people are so tense and so sensitive, and the only thing they need is a word from somebody of grace saying, "Sister, relax. Jesus loves you." And go on. Be that vessel of grace. We can, in so many cases, we think we've got this burden on ourselves that we must preach, you know, or we must whenever somebody's got a problem, we must find the right scripture and it must be biblically correct and all that stuff. It must be correct. But there's a principle of where we can just help set people free. Amen. And that kind word that somebody that never finds nowhere can be the catalyst for that person to start following Jesus Christ, because somewhere they must just see the heart of God. It's like a father trying to help his son to build something or serve. He does not take him out into the big deep sea and say, "Oh, you can't serve," or whatever, you know. It's not his heart. His heart is to help him and protect him. Amen. Luke 9 verse 46 to 48. And an argument started among them as to which of them might be the greatest. We did a module here in Bible school on Thursday, which was really blessed. And Dennis said something afterwards, which just, I think, ties in with here, is that sometimes we must look at people through God's eyes or spectacles or whatever, because we just see a weakling that never opens his mouth or never does nothing. But you know what? If we look at God through God's eyes and we see this person, we see something else. I tell you, that if somebody irritates you or whatever, what you must do is not try and fix them. What you must do is go and pray and say, "Lord, what do you think of pity?" You know what? If you really listen, you'll walk out there, you'll be so excited about pity's life and the promise that God has for pity, because we're just fleshly, humanly, and we just see the bad stuff sometimes. Anyway, verse 47, "But Jesus, knowing that they were thinking what they were thinking in their heart, took a child and stood him by his side and said to them, whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For the one who is the least among all of you, this is the one who is great. Ivan, can you play for us? Then the last passage of Scripture then. Romans 12, verse 1 to 5. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Amen. Can we stand? You know, as I prepared this sermon, I wrote down here, I just feel that there are so many, and it's probably our mistake, you know, the people that preach and so on, but we, you know, I just sense that some people feel that there's, in order to be successful, or in God's eyes successful, there's like a box thing that you need to fit in. And if you don't fit there, you're outside and you don't make it. So I just sense that there are lots of people here that just need to be told that you're okay. The way that you do things, and you're slow or whatever, you're too fast, I don't care what you are, but that's all right. And God really wants to remove that guilt from you. The Bible in Revelation says that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He constantly wants to accuse you and say that you're not making it. You don't fit in that box. And this morning I want to pray that box gets broken apart. Because there's no boxes when it comes to Jesus Christ. We're all different, and Jesus made us like that. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. I just want to ask if there's anybody here this morning. I'm going to make two altar calls. But the first one is, do you know the Father heart of God? Do you know that your dad, your God, is a father, a good one? You know, sometimes if we think of our own father, it might not be a good picture. But we all know what a good father is. It's that loving father that just loves it when his child plays and he's happy and there's no hurt. I want to tell you that if you don't feel about God like that, it might be that you don't have a relationship with God, because I feel like that with God. I feel like he really wants me to be blessed and he's happy with who I am. But it started in my life where I had to surrender my life to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, please, I give my life to you. It starts there where we really have to just surrender everything to God. And that's when we become Christians. That's when we become born again. It's not when we go to church. So can we bow our heads now and Christians pray? I want to ask very boldly, if anybody is here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ, you want to know him personally, then I want you to quickly put up your hand. Say, I need that. I want that. Is there anybody like that this morning? I want you to put up your hand. You want to receive Jesus Christ. Is there anybody? Okay, if there is somebody like that, just come forward afterwards and we'll pray for you. But now I want to pray for those people that feel, oh, I never fit in the box. You know, I just got weaknesses. That's all I have. No strengths. If you feel that, we want to bless you here this morning. We want to lay our hands on you and just speak a blessing and prophecy over your life, because you were made in the image of God. There's nothing wrong with you. Is there anybody here that this morning that feels, has this feeling of inferiority at times? Would you raise up your hand quickly? I know there must be people here. Okay, can you quickly come forward? Just stand here with me. I'm going to ask small group leaders and so on. Mark, you can also help us to pray. Those that want us to just bless them this morning, pray God's approval over them. Come forward. Amen. And we, those that can pray, more people that can help us pray here. Just stand behind anybody here. Lay your hands on them. I'll pray one prayer. And then you just pray for them afterwards. Father, we lift up these people to you this morning. And we thank you that they're very different. We thank you for that. We want to celebrate. We want to, in the spiritual realm, celebrate their diversity. Celebrate who they are. Celebrate those that are quiet. Celebrate those that are noisy. Those that are anything. But we want to celebrate it and just speak a word of approval over them this morning. Father God, we pray that you will remove the guilt in the name of Jesus Christ. Remove the guilt, the accuser of the brethren. We say stop in Jesus' name. Stop ministering to these people. We pray that the Father's heart will be revealed to them this morning in Jesus' name. Just lay out, let's pray for them and I'll close off now. We're going to close off now, and if there's any more prayer, even if it's for sickness, so on, we're going to finish now, but come forward. There's lots of people here that can pray for you. Father, we thank you for this morning. And we thank you that you've really blessed our church with diversity, Father. From small to big and white to black. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that, Lord. And we pray that you will, during this week when we have small groups and wherever we meet, Lord, help us to see, but I need that partner. I need that one to go with me. And Lord, as leaders, help us to see who to put together, that we go out two by two, that we have this team thing happening and not this individual thing. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.